On this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio, we have an exclusive interview with Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan, describing the events leading up to and the fallout from his meeting with Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin, in which Bonin made an illicit offer offering media credentials in the Texas House for certain political activity. This is an interview you definitely won't want to miss. Welcome back to another week of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 Studios in Austin, Texas. You can find me on Twitter if you want to follow me, at TweetTonyMac, and find us on the web, www.texasscorecard.com. Speaking of the website, I mentioned a story on last week's show, a really earth-shattering story here in Texas politics, state political news, Bonin's backroom offer. This was posted to TexasScorecard.com a week or so ago, in which Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan came out with the allegation that Texas House Speaker Dennis Bonin had invited him to the Capitol and offered him an illicit deal. He would approve the long-denied applications of Texas Scorecard's reporters at the Capitol for House media credentials. And in exchange, he expected Sullivan and the Empower Texans PAC to withhold certain political spending against Bonin and his allies, and more shockingly, engage in particular campaigning against a list of Republican targets in the Texas House, this being contrary to Bonin's public statements saying he supported all House members and was admonishing House members to not campaign against each other. So, earth-shattering story, lots of developments there, and because of that, I have Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan in the studio to talk about these events. And let's walk through it, Michael. Let's walk through it. So how did this meeting happen on June 12th? How did this meeting come about?
The meeting came about after the legislative session had come to an end. I was at Houston Hobby Airport. I just happened to be there. I had a long day of meetings in Houston, jumping on an airplane. Speaker Bonin there in shorts and a t-shirt. Heading off on vacation a couple days away with his family. I certainly understand that. And he wanted to sit and chit-chat for a few minutes. We've known each other for a long time. It was a little weird, given that he had been in the press literally that day, criticizing Empower Texans, Texas' right to life, the grassroots.
Conservative. Basically, there's been a lot of grassroots criticism of the legislative session. This is his first session as speaker, and he's out there saying, you know, this was great. We've done all these wonderful things, and conservative grassroots groups are saying, you know, Nate, no, you left a lot of things undone. A lot of things that Republicans would expect to happen in a Republican state didn't get done in this session, and there's been that criticism there. And so, obviously, that came up.
Yeah, and so, Speaker Bonin wanted to sit and chat for Dennis, wanted to chat for a little bit. He was in Dennis mode, not speaker mode.
Sure.
And so he and I chatted. Again, we've known each other for a long time. And he said some things that, you know, kind of the back of my head made me think, that doesn't seem right. I can't quote them for you. I wasn't sitting there taking notes in our meeting, and I certainly wasn't recording that meeting. It was just a happenstance chat at the airport, but it was enough that put me a little bit on guard. And he said, hey, I'd like for us to get together when we both get back from our respective vacations this summer. I'd like for us to get back. Yell at me when you get back. I was heading off to Europe for a couple of days with my daughter for the Normandy 75th anniversary observances. So when you get back from Europe and I'm back from my trip with my family, let's get together.
All right. So you reach out to him.
So I reach out to him. Said, hey, I'm back in town if you still want to meet. He proposes a meeting on June 12th at his Capitol office. I agree to that. And decided to head over to the Capitol that afternoon.
Now, something that is now public is that you decided to record that meeting.
I did.
Why?
Because I saw what happened. One, I've known Dennis Bonin for a long time. He's very calculating. He's can be a little hot-headed. He's rather intemperate. So I've known that about him. But look, there that defines a lot of legislators, right?
Sure.
But what I also saw this year was something I'd not really personally seen. I'd heard rumors of, but I saw Dennis Bonin and his allies tell complete lies about an interaction involving Chris McNutt, who heads up
a
Second Amendment group.
That's right. And listeners may remember this. We had Brandon Walton's in to talk about this when a DPS video came out. Bonin had been out there saying, hey, this activist was, you know, ambushing our families and threatening them in the district, and made all these allegations about it and made McNutt out to be this, you know, sounded like this really bad guy.
Look at Speaker Bonin saying that his teenage son was scared because, you know, dad wasn't home. You know, as it turned out, the video showed that McNutt never even went to the door, talked to the DPS officer, gave the DPS officer a flyer. The officer volunteered to take it up to the door for him. Everything that Bonin said was a lie, a complete and utter fabrication. You can't. You know, I don't use the word lie indiscriminately.
Sure.
He lied about the entire interaction.
And so, with this in mind, this is why you made this report.
I decided I need to protect myself. This was not a recording done to play gotcha, not a recording done because I thought there'd be something salacious. This was a recording that I chose to make to protect myself and my family, to protect Empower Texans and its affiliates, and to protect the staff that work for me from the lies that I figured could be told.
Now, to be clear, you didn't expect, you know, some kind of illicit offer.
No,
in this meeting. I mean, there was no reason to expect
that. No reason to expect that. I did expect that he could play games, and I said I was not going to be a victim. In the world of politics, you can be a victim or not a victim. I'm not a big fan of ever being a victim, and that's why I made that recording.
Okay, so what did you expect to be talking about in the meeting?
Look, I half expected that this would be a meeting of either a tongue lashing about our lack of fidelity to, you know, praising all things legislative session, or it would be a plea for GOP unity. Again, there were some things said in that airport chat that made me just a little suspicious that, you know, I was being set up for something, that I was going to be, that it was going to be contorted. And again, that's why I made that recording. As it turned out, though, there was a little bit of tongue lashing, a little bit of plea for unity. But the more troubling thing for me personally was that after the kind of the obligatory small talk about what we had done so far in our summer, but in the room was Dustin Burroughs, state representative from Lubbock, who's the GOP caucus chairman.
And you didn't know that he was going to be there.
I did not know he was going to be there until I showed up, and there he is sitting there. And suddenly the conversation takes a very strange turn where the speaker is insistent that he tell me what he wants to do for me. I try to make it clear that there's nothing I need to do, and I'm trying to think in my head, where's this going? And he makes this presentation.
And so you tell him, you know.
And I tell him explicitly, you know, that
there's nothing you want.
There's nothing I want from you.
Yeah.
And he says, no, you need to listen to what I have. I can get your guys on the floor, a reference to the fact that Texas Scorecard's reporters, which operate independently from any of our political decision making, that they have been denied media credentials despite falling squarely into the box of people who qualify for media credentials.
And again, the context on this, we had applied for those credentials during the session, had been kind of strung along for a period of time, never really formally denied, but strung along sufficiently that, you know, I went in, filed this lawsuit in federal court, and this is couple of weeks after a district court says, no, legislative immunity, I can't really come in and meddle in the affairs of the legislature. We're just going to have to trust that they're going to be good guys and handle this thing their way. I can't interfere in that. Of course, we're appealing that currently because that's wrong, but that's another topic for another day. But in that context of that ruling and appeal, he says, hey, you know, I'll give it to you if we can make this work.
And what this turned out to be was, one, he wanted some, you know, tamping down of criticism. Two,
changes in coverage.
Yeah, changes in coverage.
Coverage of races, events, those kinds of things.
Two, he wanted us to withhold spending against himself, against Dustin Burroughs, and against, you know, other people that I guess he's friendly with. But he also suggested that it'd be great if we spent money against some certain Republicans. And he said, no, and he, meaning Dustin Burroughs, will give you the list. And Speaker Bonin used the phrase list several times, implying that it's not some amorphous concept, but some actual names that he and Mr. Burroughs had talked about.
Now, we mentioned this earlier, I guess, kind of as I was introing the story. This is totally contrary to what he has been saying publicly about, you know, not only Republicans campaigning against Republicans, but, you know, Republicans campaigning against Democrats, Democrats campaigning against Republicans, and which is what you expect to
see.
And
I brought that up to him. He said, you know, wait a second, Mr. Speaker. This is something that you've said you don't want to have happen. And he says, oh, that's just PR. You know, this is just, you know, and he made the point that this was for him to decide who broke this no incumbent campaigning rule, not other people. I mean, just very self-serving, certainly not empowering to the members or let alone empowering to the citizens. As, you know, at one point, he even starts naming off, after saying that Dustin Burroughs is going to give me the list, even Bonin can't help himself. This is kind of the reckless and temperate part of his personality where he starts naming off names and says, oh, no, but I'll let Burroughs, you know, give you the list. Bonin leaves, and sure enough, Mr. Burroughs starts naming names.
Well, that's a great opportunity. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about what that list was, and then how, once we have come out and confronted Speaker Bonin about this issue, how he's reacted to that.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's news digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
When we left off, we were talking about how Burroughs provided the list, but that Bonin in the meeting made clear he knew who was on that list. So let's talk a little bit about what this list was, who was on it, and what exactly Bonin and Burroughs were asking you to do in exchange for this offer of these House media credentials.
So it was very clear that, you know, what, I mean, because he said it, what he wanted was these guys, these Republicans, these people on this list to get challengers, and that he hoped that we would fund against them.
Through the Empower Texans PAC, through a PAC, political committee.
Yeah, political action committee that we have, wanted us to be spending money against them. Again, completely contrary to what he had said publicly, contrary to the, you know, kumbaya, you know, we've been hearing it, everyone's been hearing, oh my gosh, the Democrats are coming heavy, Republicans got to lock arms, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It,
of course.
As if any of us control the grassroots, any of us control the voters. You know, we all might agree, though, oh, yeah, let's all sing kumbaya and pretend like everything's great. The voters are pretty smart. The voters know what did and didn't happen. They can
look
at the property tax bills. They can look at the results of a legislative session. They don't need to be, you know, led by the nose or anything else. Voters get it. But they were wanting us to go out and start attacking members and withholding attacks against members. And it's
based on whether they were or were not on this
on
list.
Like I noted before the break, Mr. Bonin had started to name some names, but then stops. Oh, well, Burroughs will give you the list. Burroughs will give you the list. Okay, great. So here's Burroughs, gives me this list of members. And what he says is the justifications. Oh, these are people who voted against taxpayer-funded lobbying, but yet he only gave me 10 names off of, because as he's reading through these names, saying, oh, don't worry about this guy. Don't need to worry about this representative or this person. The all Republicans. Don't need to worry about them, you know, for what, whatever flippant reason, and some not even given a reason. So it was clear this list is something else. This is a list that either Dennis doesn't like or that Burroughs doesn't like.
Well,
and
that's consistent. The list is specifically naming guys like Travis Clardy, Drew Darby. These are members who, you know, as reporters, as people who are at the Capitol, these are the kind of outliers who aren't necessarily on the team.
Yeah.
With the and look, these were people who were running for speaker and were trying to win contrary to Bonin
and
before
these are people,
the session.
You know, to be clear, aren't on the conservatives team. These are people who quite honestly, if I was told, go pick nine bad Republicans. Well, this, you know, these would be them.
Pretty close to the list.
This,
right?
This is a pretty good list.
Yeah.
You know? Now, what was interesting was that Burroughs was very specific about wanting to include Tam Parker, state representative from Denton County, a state representative who, you know, I've never seen do much overly aggressive, quite honestly, and ironically, was the immediately preceding GOP caucus chairman. Now, he had tried to make a nascent run for speaker when it was after Joe Strauss announced he wasn't running, but really didn't seem to ever garner much.
Never really took off.
Never really took off. So it was surprising that Burroughs was insistent that Parker be on that list. But again, it said to me, this is a list of people who are targeted for other reasons, and that, whatever wrapping they wanted to coat it in wasn't exactly the real reason.
Yeah, the weird thing about it is, you know, as you were saying, this is a list of members who, you know, rightfully so, have not participated and cooperated in passing conservative reforms. Now, there's a whole lot of people who've also been bad on that front who were not included on the list. But this is a list of people who, if, you know, a good conservative challenger were to run against them, you'd say, oh, I would maybe want to really help that person try and win that seat. It's bizarre that they were trying to make this a quid pro quo. Here, yeah, I'll do this for you. When these are the kind of things that you and we say publicly we are about doing, you know, we don't need anything.
it was either incredibly ham-fisted or, the other thing that has occurred to me in the time following was that, you know, how many other lists have been provided to how many other groups?
Sure.
You know, exemptions from, well, you can go after this Republican or that Republican in exchange for whatever. And all he had to offer us was media credentials, which, quite frankly, I think that's cute, but not worth trading my First Amendment political speech rights.
Or your conscience.
Or my integrity, conscience, whatever. We, after the meeting, I came, and immediately sat down with my attorneys, with some trusted advisors, and realize this is not a good situation. We wrote a letter to Speaker Bonin and Committee Chairman Burroughs saying, guys, we reject, to be clear, reject this. This is not appropriate. Mr. Bonin's first response was a letter to me in which he denied everything. He all but denied the meeting happened. He didn't deny the meeting happened, but, that would have been probably the least misrepresentative thing for him to have said.
Yeah, he basically said, look, you have a misconception. I didn't make any kind of offer of credentials for activity in this meeting, and we're looking at it going, yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. So we decided, made the decision to sit, maybe let Mr. Burroughs, who's an attorney, have a conversation with Mr. Bonin, and let them, sometimes all of us will react. Our first reaction might not be the right one.
Yeah.
And this is serious stuff. This isn't games. This isn't, I've heard people talk about, this in a way of some sort of game. This isn't a game. This is the principles that guide the governing of our state.
Right.
And so we decided to give him time to decide what to do. When it became apparent that lying was going to remain his position, we announced publicly about the meeting. Of course, what that was met with from Bonin was more lies.
Yeah, so on a Thursday, you come out and you say, look, you write this article, jump at TexasScorecard.com, Bonin's backroom offer, and we lay out, hey, here's what happened. But of course, didn't come out and say anything about recording, audio, proof. Just, hey, here's what happened so people know. And so people know that we're not interested in that sort of thing.
Right. And again, all this, remember, this is about protecting myself, protecting my family, protecting the organization and its staff. You know, I needed to make a clear public denunciation because, you know, the irony of all of this, Tony, is that, yes, those are people that if I have a few extra bucks in my political action committee, I would love to spend against these people. Meanwhile, our Texas scorecard team is going to, again, while this lawsuit is continuing, they're also going to be applying for media credentials sometime the next, you know, 18 months again for the next legislative session.
And so
I did not want the appearance of some quid pro quo. That would be bad for us.
Yeah, bad for reputation and integrity to say, oh, well, he did what was asked, because these are things that we want to do. You should be free to do without the extortion element to it. So Bonin comes out, and instead of confronting it and going, whoa, hey, this guy's calling me out, doubles down on the deception.
Doubles down on deception, doubles down on misrepresentations. It was at that point I made the decision, okay, then I guess we do have to fess up that I made a recording of the meeting. The response to that was something akin to the dropping of the bomb at yeah. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, with folks reeling. You had one of the things that we noted in that initial article was that, and this was the kind of the only thing I could smile about for 2 days was, well, I guess I learned what media credentials cost.
Right.
And that when you see the fawning press, just going on and on about the glories of whoever the elected leaders are. Well, here's why. You know, they get media credentials out of it.
Because they're expected
they dictate the coverage to be in the club.
They're expected to keep the party line in order to maintain those privileges.
And that's exactly what we've seen happen is the Dallas Morning News and other establishment dinosaur media, rather than saying, wait a second, why are there quid pro quo arrangements being offered? What about this hypocrisy? Instead, they're attacking me for having done the unthinkable of recording a conversation.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. I mean, seriously, the Dallas Morning News out in an editorial saying you're a bad guy for it's like the mob, you know, you're a bad guy for talking.
I mean, there's this kind of a establishment donor up in Dallas on his Facebook page. I thought he put it well. He described, he said, taking the Dallas Morning News position, that I violated the sacred trust of a meeting with literature. Are you kidding me? These people are our employees.
Yeah,
you know, they work for us. We're a state that allows people to record meetings they're in precisely to protect ourselves, by the way.
That's right.
The sycophant class, you know, just piles on. Oh, let's protect. Who's in charge? Doesn't matter. Let's protect who's in charge.
Now, people are asking about the audios. Hey, we've got a radio show. We could just be, I could have kicked you out of the room and we just put this thing on and we just start playing and, you know, take a couple of shows to get through it, I guess. But we could have done that. And there's some criticism. Hey, why don't you just dump this audio out there? Let everybody listen to it. Why not?
So, look, I'll be honest. My first reaction after, you know, kind of trying to give more than a month, opportunity for Burroughs and Bonin to recant, to apologize. My first reaction was, oh, let's just blow it up. You know, that kind of a bad mindset.
Sure.
But listening to the audio now several times that I've done, it would be bad for Republicans. I think Republicans generally would be hurt by. Now, is that necessarily my driving concern that people, you know, a little bit. I don't like the idea that people would be held responsible for the things that Bonin offered, for the shadiness, for the unethical
Basically,
nature of it.
He needs to be held responsible for his actions, not, you know, have this audio dumped out there and the Democrats undoubtedly, based on the content of it, going to pick this thing up and say, hey, how can we use this to just bash, you know, any Republican who's one degree of separation from Bonin? How do we bash them around the head with it?
And now leaving Republicans, legislators had nothing to do, candidates had nothing to do with this shady dealings to defend it. But But second, this is personally more important to me. There are things that transcend party. There are things that transcend politics. And one of those for me is the impact of all the stuff on people's real lives or their family.
Sure.
There are things that are said on the recording that quite honestly will hurt some families.
Yeah.
Hurt individuals and their families. And I'm just not eager for that to happen. I'm not eager for the innocent bystander, whether it's the Republican running for the legislature or the family member of someone in the legislature or whoever, to be victimized by the intemperate, rash comments of a speaker who has just shown that he's as likely to be reckless as he is anything else.
Yeah. So in the meantime, this audio has been made available to Republican legislators, Republican officials, grassroots leaders who have a need to hear it. It is being made available to those people. So, I mean, if people are out there and they say, hey, well, we want to know what's going on with this, I mean, I guess the direction we would point them in is, you know, you need to be talking to your leaders and saying, hey, have you gone, you know, taken advantage of the opportunity to hear this? What do you think should be done with it?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm under no illusion. At some point, I think we will probably release the full audio. I just don't know when. I don't know the circumstances, but I think that I want to do it in a way that is respectful of individuals and their families, respectful of Kent. My hope in all this is that we would see the Texas House clean up the Texas House, that we would see Republicans clean up a mess created by the third ranking Republican in the state of Texas. My hope is that the mess would be cleaned up so that rather than this be, you know, the arid of sorted laundry, instead, when it eventually comes out, it would be in the historic context of why they cleaned it up.
Here's why these people took action and cleaned up a mess. Not, hey, let's all collectively call on these people to begrudgingly do what is appropriate. And in the context, we already know, based on what we've said about it, what has been confirmed by people who have come and listened to the audio, the offer was made. It was denied, you know, and then there's been a cover up and a denial and deception about what was done in that meeting.
And I think it's striking me that Dennis Bonin, his reaction now that, you know, we've announced we have the recording, people hearing the recording is, oh, we'll just release it publicly. It's almost the idea of, well, if I'm going to have to pay a price, I want every Republican to pay a price. I want the whole state to look bad because of the shady dealing that I was, because of the recklessness and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And it's a very childish perspective to take. I hate being thought of as the guy who is watching out for the best interests of politicians and a political party. But what I'd like to think instead is that that I and all of us at Empower Texans are trying very hard to make sure that we are respectful of the gravity of the situation. This isn't a game.
Sure.
This isn't something. This isn't part of some political volleyball contest. The government is serious. This affects real people's lives. Whether you're talking about the policy decisions or even just the flippant sort of nasty comments made about individuals behind closed doors. All those things hurt people. We need to be cautious. At first, do no harm, I think, is what how the physicians put it. And I think in some ways that's kind of the way I'm feeling right now.
Well, I think that's a wise way to approach it. Thank you for coming on and talking about all of this. Certainly interesting to get that perspective out about why these things happen and what we're thinking as we went through it. Certainly, this is not the last that will be said about these events. A lot more to come.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate your time.
Hi, this is Kerry Cheshire with Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Your state lawmaker probably campaigned as a conservative, as someone who would go to Austin to cut spending and limit government. But did he keep that promise? At index.empowertexans.com, you can see how your lawmaker voted on the major issues of the legislative session. Things like property tax relief, the state budget, and regulatory reform. You can also view his score on the Fiscal Responsibility Index and decide if he needs a pat on the back, a wag of the finger, or perhaps a permanent vacation from public service. The Fiscal Responsibility Index is the premier tool for taxpayers to hold their lawmakers accountable. Check us out today at index.empowertexans.com.
Well, that's all I have for you this week. We should be back with a regular episode next week, going through all the news that is going on other than this major story. But wanted to do something special this week and really dive into this issue involving this illicit offer from Speaker Bonin. Thank you for listening. Join us back here next week for another episode of Texas Scorecard Radio.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.